Changing from the outside in, we're sharing together in our last message on essentials, strategic planning for the church and for our lives, and we've been navigating our way all through Acts chapter 10, and it has been a good experience. I pray that these messages have challenged you to embrace the necessity of a strategic plan, not only for us as a church family here at St. John's, but also for us in our individual personal lives as we follow Jesus as our Savior. And so I want to thank you for wrestling with me through this text of Acts chapter 10. We've spent 6 weeks altogether in just this one chapter, and so I commend you. You've done a wonderful job of just hanging in there with me and spending time reading and looking over this chapter. So I appreciate that so much. Let's pray together this morning. God, we thank you that you are the one who changes us from the outside in. We thank you for those changes that happen on the inside of us that cause us to be different people. Thank you that our journey with you is one of growing in grace. It is one where we learn more about ourselves, where we take our struggles and our heartaches, our joys and our triumphs, and we both bring those needs to you in hopefulness and also in success and celebration. So thank you for holding us in the palm of your hand. Thank you for marking the length of our days. Thank you for hearing our heartbeat, our very thoughts. So guide us now, Lord, as we share together in this message which you have prepared and allowed me to deliver and share with these your wonderful people, the children of God here at St. John's. We ask your blessing in your name, the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. So today we're going to conclude this series by talking about where strategic planning ends up. And the place that any strategic plan ends up is in transformation. That's where strategic plans take us, to a place of transformation. Transformation is a pretty big word, so let me break it down for you in more understandable terms. When I say that the process of strategic planning, be that for our congregation, our church, or for us in our own individual walk with Jesus, strategic planning leads us invariably to transformation. And what I mean simply is this: we are changed. And that's a good thing, because I don't want to be like the person that I was in the past. I very much needed that change, that transformation that Jesus was offering to me and to all of us in our journey with Him. We change into His image, into His likeness. We change as we go through struggles and heartaches and difficulties to become more like Him. Change is the hardest part of life, isn't it? Sometimes we're changed because we want to be. Sometimes we are dissatisfied with ourselves for whatever reasons. We weigh too much. Perhaps we're too sad, or maybe we're too cranky, or our job is frustrating, demeaning, demanding. Our relationships aren't fulfilling. And so we set about to make some changes. We take that on ourselves. And these changes are what I would call the intrinsic, inside kinds of changes. They come from within us. I mean, it's what the New Year's resolution is all about, right? Yeah? We approach the new year, and even if we've given up on making New Year's resolutions, I'm pretty confident that all of us will at least think about that process of the end of an old year and the beginning of a new one. And am I going to be any different in the new year? And if I am going to be different, how will that change be accomplished? What will happen on the inside of me to be a new person as the new year arrives? But sometimes we are changed and we don't want to be changed. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. These are called extrinsic changes, you know, from the outside. Someone that we love leaves us, or a friendship ends, or the company that we wanted to work for, that we submitted and turned in a resume for, they don't hire us, or the company that you are working for, due to economic pressures, downsizes, and all of a sudden you've got a change on your hands that you didn't bargain for, that you didn't expect or anticipate. It's just come your way. Or our faith, even if we have one, that becomes either unsettled or uncomfortable for us, and we're not all sure as to the reasons why. And sometimes we are changed because we didn't think something through as we should have thought it through, and detrimental consequences can follow because we didn't apply ourselves to thinking about the changes that were taking place in our lives or in our environment. There's an old story of an eagle who, on an early morning during the spring thaw, soared high above the forest looking for something to eat. As the eagle followed the course of a river, he looked down and he spied a very, very small rodent trapped on a piece of ice that had broken free and was floating down the stream. Seeing an easy meal, he swooped down, landed on the ice, killed the little rodent mouse, and began to eat. As he continued his meal, he saw that his perch was rapidly approaching a waterfall, but determined to finish eating and thinking that he would rise into the air and to safety at the very last moment. After all, he had strong and powerful wings. Even though he knew that the waterfalls were there, he continued to keep eating away. And as the ice neared the falls, the eagle finished his very last bite. Satisfied with his breakfast, he spread his mighty wings and attempted to rise skyward. But as he did so, he found that his feet, his claws, had thawed into that chunk of ice. And even though his wings were large, try as he might, he could not dislodge his claws, his feet, from the ice and free himself from it. And over the falls he went. Friends, if I could be candid for a moment, you know, our precious denomination, which I love, which I am a servant of, is literally at times, and it pulls on my heartstrings, going over the falls. There are a lot of churches that are frozen in the ice, if you will, even though they see that the falls are ahead. And I will do everything. I want you to have my reassurance that I will do everything within my power, spiritually and intellectually, to prevent anything like that, what is happening in the broader landscape of our denomination, happening here at St. John's. God is on our side. And when God is on our side and we claim that relationship by faith, God is going to bless us and grant us His favor. And so if strategic planning is meant to do any one thing, it is meant to prevent us from going over the falls, either as a church or in our own lives. Strategic plans are meant to keep congregations flying high so that we can do God's will and thrive into God's emerging future. But the biggest issue related to change by far isn't going over the falls. The biggest issue related to change is follow through. It's follow through. Whether we go looking for the change because of some vacuum or empty space inside ourselves, or whether the change is forced upon us by circumstances beyond our control, following through with the change is always very, very hard to do. Let me use myself as an example. When I knew that my ministry was drawing to a close in Norwood, I asked God that if it was God's will to open a new door to a new ministry setting where I could lead and serve, that God would show that and make it plain and apparent to me. And God did. And once God showed me St. John's, I knew that change was coming. Change is coming for me. Change is coming for you. But in order to be here in this place, there were profiles to complete, interviews to be had, and that small little matter of what's called the candidating sermon, yeah, and especially the congregational vote. These were all changes that God had opened a door to, that God had led me into, that I had wholeheartedly embraced and welcomed into my life. And that was hard because Janet and Brittany and I, we left many, many good friends behind there in Norwood. Not an easy change at all. Now I'll share with you a change in my life that I wasn't looking for. I had suffered on and off for many, many years with back pain. And about 6, maybe 8 years ago, one morning I was getting out of bed. I was anticipating a meeting later on in the day, and as I was getting out of bed, I couldn't get out of bed. My back was just wrenched. It was thrown, and the only place that I could possibly be for the remainder of the day was lying flat out on our hardwood floors in the bedroom. So off to my doctor I went, and so he prescribed some medication for the pain and so on and so forth, and also gave me a referral recommendation to go see a physical therapist, which I dutifully did because I was in so much pain and agony. I really wanted to take care of this problem. So I saw the physical therapist, and she had all kinds of contraptions and tables and straps and pulleys and machines and all kinds of things that she would hook me up to and stretch out my back. And I would have this therapy sometimes 2-3 days a week for about 3 months. You know, and as I went through the therapy, I began to feel better. And this was good. This was wonderful. I got to the end of the therapy feeling absolutely great, and I turned to the therapist and I said to her, "So that's it. I'm all done. I'm cured. I feel great. This is wonderful." And she just looked at me and she said, "Oh no." She said, "You are going to have to exercise now all the time. You're going to have to make exercise a regular part of your life, or you're going to end back up here on my table where I'm stretching you out with these pulleys and cords. Do you want that to happen, Dan?" "No, I don't want that." She said, "Then you need to exercise." A change from the outside that I wasn't looking for at all. So here's the thing. Change never leads to transformation without follow-through. We can have all the change we want in our personal lives or within our church, but if there is no follow-through, there can be no transformation. You gotta follow through. Let me give you 3 biblical examples. The first is taken from John chapter 8. It's the incident of the woman that's taken in adultery. And I'll just share this text just to bring it back to your heart and mind for a moment. John 8 and verse 1. "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives at dawn. Early in the morning he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery." It's early morning, probably the night before, you know, they grabbed a hold of her and they brought her to him. "The teachers of the law, they made her stand before the group. Public shame, humiliation, embarrassment. And they said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery.'" I always wonder how they did that. "In the law of Moses, they commanded us, Moses commands us, it says there, to stone such women." And this still goes on in certain places in the world, but that's another sermon for another time, if you will. "To stone her. Now what do you say?" What do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. "But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger, as if he's tone deaf, as if he didn't even hear them. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first guy to throw a stone at her." And the text says that beginning with the oldest, and I can't help but think that the elderly, the men that were in that crowd, that they were fully aware of all of their sins in their life, dropped the stones all the way down to the youngest, until only Jesus and this woman were left alone. And Jesus straightened up and he said to her, "Woman, where are they? Where are your accusers? Is there anyone here to blame you any further?" And she said, "No, Lord." And then he said to her, "Go now. Your sins are forgiven you, and leave your life of sin." In other words, Jesus was saying to her, "You've been set free. I've saved your life. Your sins have been forgiven. Now go and follow through. Follow through." Then there is the cross in Matthew chapter 26. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. You know the story well. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow." In the Greek there it is a crushing sorrow to the point of death. And he said, "Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, not as I will, but as you will." And we know that from that point on, Jesus went forth from the garden to his trial, to the cross. He had follow through. You know, I meet people all the time who are stuck in their spirituality, in their walk with Jesus. And part of this reason for their stuckness is that they don't follow through. They don't follow through. You see, the follow through is the necessary stage. It's what we've got to do to get to that place of transformation. And then the third biblical example is found here in Acts 10. Peter shares with Cornelius how the prophets testified. And remember that everyone here has got a testimony. Yes, we all have a testimony. And that testimony needs to be shared with so many others. The prophets testified that it is only Jesus who can forgive our sins. And then there's the follow through. The Holy Spirit came on everyone who was hearing Peter speak to Cornelius. The Holy Spirit came and followed through. God is our best example of following through. Jesus is our best example, going to the cross, of following through. Church, some have told me here that we're struggling with a bit of follow-through. And I just want to say, has no preacher ever told you that our God is a God of follow-through? That when God makes a promise, God keeps it? And part of that promise is to claim us as His own. He does. God follows through. He followed through with Noah because he brought him to dry ground, didn't he? He followed through with giving Abraham and Sarah a son, even though they laughed and said, "We're barrenless, we'll never have children." God said, "Oh no, you're going to have children." And God followed through. He followed through delivering the children of Israel from certain destruction in the wilderness, didn't he? He parted the waters to make good on his promise, didn't he? He followed through on converting the city of Nineveh. Didn't he deliver Rahab and her family? At the sound of the trumpet blast, he followed through on bringing the walls of Jericho down. He followed through on saving Naomi and Ruth. He followed through on buying you and I back from death, hell, and the grave. Our God is a God who follows through. And in Acts chapter 10, it says this in verses 44 to 45. The Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished. They were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured. My friends, we've got a God who astonishes us. God was following through. Our God is a follow-through God. The change came from the outside in for the purpose of changing Cornelius and his family from the inside out. And the same operative principles are in use by God today. God will change us. If God follows through from the outside in, He asks us to follow through. Come on now, from the inside out. Some of us have got some following through to do on the inside out. And so Peter follows through and he baptizes Cornelius and his whole household. There's the follow through. Surely, Peter says, no one can stand in the way of all of these people being baptized in water. And so follow through leads to transformation. Some of us want it, but it is eluding us. My friends, please try follow through. Too many churches pay lip service to change and oh yeah, we want change, we want change, we want change. Yeah, we want to, you know. But in order for us to get there, the follow-through's got to be in place. It is, as I made mention of earlier, like that proverbial New Year's Eve resolution, you know. We make those resolutions with all the best intentions, don't we? Yep. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm not going to cuss and swear so much. I'm going to treat somebody that I haven't been treating so well in my life. I'm going to treat them better. And what happens by the time that we get to January 31st? We all know what happens by the time we get to that point, you know. The postscript to Acts chapter 10 is that Peter had to keep following through. He had to keep doing it. You see, even after Cornelius and his household were baptized, even though they came to faith, you see, we can't forget to remember that Cornelius was a Gentile and that Peter was a Jew. And so Peter had to follow through. He had to walk down the street with Cornelius. That's follow through. It's not just doing the religious thing and then leaving it in the corner and saying, well, I took care of that. No, Peter's got to walk down the street with Cornelius. He's got to follow through. Peter had to stand up for Cornelius because Cornelius was now a part of the household of faith. The follow through is the evidence that God's strategic plan, it works. The woman taken in adultery, she had to stop sleeping around. That's the evidence that God's strategic plan works. The man lying at the pool of Bethesda had to stop making excuses. It's the evidence that God's strategic plan works. The prodigal son had to give in to his father's love and feel the warmth and the strength of his father's embrace. That's the proof, the evidence that the strategic plan that God has for us as a people, that it works. And Peter had to feed Jesus' sheep as Jesus appeared to Peter on that Galilean beach. Peter, feed my sheep. Cornelius was one of those sheep. Peter was having the follow-through that Jesus asked him to have. Be changed. No, be transformed from the outside in that you can change yourself and others from the inside out. May God now give us the courage, the faith, and the power to step into God's brand new future. Amen.